Talking in Athens, which is this very famous, very historical Greek city known for its philosophy. Athens is credited in history as being the birthplace of democracy. Okay, our founding fathers looked at the democratic system that was set up in Athens from hundreds of years before and used that as a foundation to build our constitution. So we have a great a bedrock of ideas and philosophies. Great philosophers like Aristotle, Plato, Socrates came from this Athens area and this Athens culture. And Paul finds himself there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. While they are great thinkers and they love to talk about new ideas and they love to talk about these were the original podcasters. That's what I'm trying to say. These guys all had a podcast. These guys all sat around talking about the latest and the greatest things. That's what they were. And Paul begins to share Jesus with these people, but he does it in a very unique way. Paul is usually, can I just give you a little background here so we understand why this is so cool and why this is so unique? Usually Paul's MO is that he would go into a, if you read the book of Acts, you'll see that when Paul is going into each city, what he would do is he would go first to the Jewish synagogue and he would talk to the Jewish people there and he would preach Jesus to them, and then a few of them might get saved, some of them might get saved, and almost everywhere then they got mad at him and they would kick him out of the synagogue. And so then he would go to the secular place and begin to share Christ with that group of people that he wanted the Lord, and then they would begin to plant a church among Gentiles and whoever else would come. But in this particular situation, Paul is by himself. There's really nobody else with him, and he goes straight to these very secular, very Gentile, they don't have a church background. They've never been in a Jewish synagogue. So Paul is trying to find a way to share Jesus with a group of people who are very intellectually smart, very philosophically open, yet have no real background or structure. And so Paul begins to share Jesus with them in a very unique way that is very relevant, I think, to where we are, because we in this nation, in this culture, we are Athens. We are the world's influencers of culture for the most part. Amen? Okay, our America, as I'm talking about nationwide, our culture is what's export. That's really the only export America has left anymore, is our culture, our influence, our entertainment, our style. That's what we do now. Good or bad, like it or love it, whatever, that it's what it is. Okay, so we are literally Paul in Athens preaching Jesus in called place to reach this type of environment. Amen. So we're going to see how Paul did it, see how it worked, see what Paul did, pull some ideas that I think are relevant to us today. So here, that's what we're doing. Sorry that took way longer than I thought it was going to give us that background. Start my clock right now. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 and 29 in part 3 of this sermon that Paul's preaching here to Athens. He says, "For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. For in him we live and move and exist, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time in your word. We thank you for this time in your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for pouring out your spirit here on us, with us, through us, and in us today, Father God. Thank you for every moment that we've had together in worship, lifting up your name and encountering your presence today, Father. And I pray that that would continue as we get into your word. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us and let the seed of the word of God and the gospel be deposited deeply within our hearts, God, to do what you wanted to do today, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us minds that understand, hearts that receive, God, and hands and feet that are ready to do the work that you're calling us to do. Would you just at home in the building, would you just put your hand on your belly somewhere and just repeat this after me so we can prepare ourselves to receive God's word today. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be what you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." Show of hands or amen or however you want to respond. How many have ever are familiar with this Bible verse? "Be ye in the world, but not of the world." Okay. Guess what? That's not a Bible verse. Gotcha, baby. That's not a Bible verse. That's actually nowhere It's nowhere in Scripture. There's some allusions to it. There's some similar language. But that particular verbiage is nowhere in Scripture. I know that it's nowhere in Scripture because I went to find that Scripture verse to preach it to you today for this message and found out that that's not even a Bible verse. And I was just as surprised as you are right now. And I wanted to share my surprise with you guys and make you guys feel as stupid as I felt as a 20-year veteran of preaching the gospel, thinking the whole time that scripture was in there and in my office going, oh my God, I've been lied to my whole life. I never found, okay? but that idea is, that's not a scripture verse, but that idea is there. And there are places where Jesus says, be not of the world, don't love the world or the things in the world. And Paul, as he's preaching this message, begins to navigate and begins to walk the line of this tension between understanding and knowing the world that he lives in and the people that he's trying to reach with the gospel, knowing that and still being not of the world, but being if you can, for lack of a better way to say it, being in the world enough to reach the people that he's called to reach in that world, and yet being able to show them another way by not being of the same thing. Does that make sense? And Paul is, this is what's really amazing here about Paul. Paul preaches this entire message without opening the Bible. That's crazy, right? Could you imagine me just coming up here on a Sunday morning without my Bible? And just giving you some thoughts and telling you some things, and never a verse was preached and never a Bible. And I'm not suggesting that this needs to be the norm or that this is what we're going to start doing, but what I'm saying is that Paul understands a way to reach the people that he's being called to reach without just going and opening up the Bible right away and saying, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. And the reason he has to do that is because he is talking to a group of people who have zero biblical foundation or knowledge. Amen? And so to reach them, he cannot start with the Bible because he's got to start where they are. And so what he does instead, ingeniously, Paul quotes some of their own poets, some of their own quote-unquote prophets, even some translations would say, Paul quotes people that they would be familiar with and uses where they are to be a bridge to get them to where Jesus wants them to be. Amen? And so Paul, without opening the Old Testament, without opening Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, without saying, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says, Paul says, no, you know what? Your own people, your own celebrities, your own cultural influencers, your own poets, your own prophets have alluded to this thing that I'm trying to say to you when they said, in him we live and move and have our being and that we are his offspring. He is quoting secular poets who, listen, are not godly people at all. Okay? They're not, these are not Christians who are in a secular space. This is not like an NF who is a rapper who is a Christian but isn't a Christian rapper, but he's a Christian that's in the rap, and I don't even know what some of that all, but you understand what I'm saying? These are just straight up secular, non-godly, non-religious people who somehow have stumbled across a truth that Paul is able to, watch this, that Paul is able to redeem in the culture in order to reach that culture. And the tension that we live in, and listen, I grew up in the 90s in church, okay? The 90s were a wild time to be a Pentecostal charismatic church kid, okay? Because it was very much a time where, hey, if it didn't have Christian in front of it, it was, you're going to hell. Amen? And I don't know, that's just the way church culture was, dude. We're going to have our own music. We're going to have our own labels. You know, we're going to have Christian versions of secular bands. We didn't have Halloween. We had a harvest party, but it was on Halloween, but it wasn't Halloween because we don't celebrate Halloween. It was a harvest party, even though the harvest wasn't even going. It wasn't nothing about harvesting. And we all wore costumes and we all got candy, but we weren't trick-or-treating. But it was crazy, right? I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons growing up. growing up, dude, because Bart Simpson was the devil. And if you watched Bart Simpson, you were going to die and go to hell, right? That was that. And then 15 years later, now I watch The Simpsons like all the time. And my dad will watch The Simpsons with me. We weren't allowed to watch because it was of the world. And we had this, it was this tension of we are not of the world and we want to be pure and we want to be holy before God. And that's a good thing. But in this, there's this tension that exists that if we take ourselves completely out of the world, we become irrelevant to the people that God has still called us to reach. Amen? And I don't want to use that word relevant because I think that word, because what's happened since the 90s, see, is that we realize, hey, we've got to reach, all we've got is a bunch of people that are already saved, and we've created this weird little Christian subculture where we have our own words and we use our own lingo and we say things like, how are you doing, brother? And you say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And we know what we're talking about, but other people don't know what the heck we're talking about, and we can't. And so we realized somewhere around the mid-2000s that began to shift. And we said, well, you know, we got to be relevant to the world around us. And so we changed our music and we put stage lighting on and we stopped singing hymns. But some of that pendulum, if we're honest, has probably swung a little too far where in the name of trying to be relevant, we're actually just sinning and not representing Jesus at all. But Paul shows us that somewhere in there is a middle ground where we can not wholeheartedly reject the culture, simple, wrong as it may be, but we can actually, with God's help, redeem the culture. Amen? And that's what Paul does here. Paul takes something that's not godly, that's not biblically accurate, but he finds a truth in there and redeems it. Amen? And I believe God has called us to be redeemers of the things around us. Amen? But here's the thing. If I'm going to redeem something broken around, let me say it this way. I can't redeem that which I don't love. Amen? In order for Paul to redeem this, first of all, in order for Paul to redeem this secular writing, he has to know it. Amen? And he has to know it enough to talk about it without sounding like a phony or a fake or a poser and actually know what he's talking about. Amen? Which means this is something that he's had to have studied. This is something he's had to have learned. This is something that had to be an interest of his. Okay? And Paul was probably a nerd. He was probably a huge book nerd, probably read all the time. I mean, they didn't have TV, obviously, but I mean, he's a scholar. He's a scholarly guy. He writes and talks from a very educated point of view. He's very educated in religion and all the fine points of religion and theology from a Jewish Pharisee perspective, but in that he also is studying other things, and those are all become tools in his pocket that God is able to use and bring out at any time. Okay? Now I'm not so I don't want you don't that's probably just what Paul was into. Amen. Peter, John, some of the other 12 disciples, they're using illustrations from their everyday life. They're redeeming the things that they're into. Fishing, working, blue-collar, farming, that kind of stuff. That's what Jesus is talking about a lot because it's what he is, you understand? So I'm not saying, understand, when we talk about redeeming the culture that we're into or the things that are around us, this is not to say that we all need to be eloquent, you know, thinkers of astrology. I'm not saying we all need to learn astrology or anything. I'm saying that whatever the interests are that are naturally God has put on the inside of us, they may be Christian or not. They don't have to be. We don't have to put a leg. We can just redeem whatever we're into and use that, find a way to use that for the glory of God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hello? So we have to, here's the thing. I can't redeem something that I don't love. And what we do, what we go through this time where often the church, we're not like, let's talk about 90s church from when I came up. A lot of it was not about redeeming, it was about rejecting culture. Okay? Well, that's not of God. That's not, and so we're going to push all that away. And I want to say, and I'm not mad and I'm not like shaking my fist back because there's a time and a place for that in everybody's life. Amen? Like, I believe there's probably a time, it's probably a healthy time in the life of every believer where there is some seasons in your life, probably when you first get saved, probably when you first get real serious about the Lord, where you do take some time and you push away and you reject all of the worldly things and just dive into the Word of God and dive into the presence of God and dive into your relationship with God so that you can get so full of the Spirit. But there's probably going to be a time. Jesus went 40 days in the wilderness, but he didn't stay there forever. He came back to earth. He came back to, Paul spends 3 years in the desert after he's first saved, away from everybody. But at some point, he comes back to earth. So there might be some seasons where God says, let's push this away, let's reject this. But I believe there's also moments where God says, okay, let's draw some of these things close so that we can redeem it. And if I'm so wrapped up in a mindset or an ideal that says I've got to reject anything that doesn't say Jesus in front of it, it's going to be difficult for me to redeem the very things that God has put in my hands and put in front of me to redeem. Amen? So Paul redeems this thing that was probably just a natural part of something he lived, something. This is what it really tells me. Because I read a few commentators on this, and a lot of them believe that, where did Paul have the time to study these ancient Greek poets and prophets and philosophers? How did he have the... Probably in that three-year period where he was just diving into the Word of God and studying him and getting things prepared before he went on this missionary journey that he never... Here's the thing. Paul didn't have any idea at the time what he was being prepared for and pulled away for. But later on, years later, God redeems that time in his life. And one thing I want to just say to all of us, understand something very clearly. God is all about and always will redeem everything that we go through in this life. Amen? Whether it's time preparing, whether it's time studying, whether it's time praying, whether it's doing time. If I give that thing to God, God can and will redeem it with a surrendered vessel. Don't think that there's ever anything in your life that's wasted. Don't think there's ever anything in your life that God can't use. Don't think there's ever anything in your life that when I give it over to God that he cannot use and redeem, because there's not. This shows me that. Amen, somebody? God will redeem every part of our life. And here's what we got to understand. See, love redeems fear, hate, ignorance, lack of understanding. That's what rejects. Amen? Love redeems. Love will recognize, you know what? The reality is all wisdom comes from God. If there is a truth that is being told or dispersed, the ultimate source of that truth is God, our Creator. Now, it may be a sinful, stupid, stubborn mule that came across it, but just because they're not a believer doesn't mean that the truth is not from God. Amen? And so what we got to be careful of, what Paul, I believe, is good about here and why he's able to pull on this source to talk and preach the gospel to these people is because he, put that slide one up there for me. Don't dismiss wisdom just because we don't dislike the source. Amen? Be careful not to go, well, that guy's not a Christian, that guy's a heathen, that guy says all these crazy things I don't like. I understand, think how you think, understand that, but also, if someone's speaking truth, don't just dismiss the whole thing because I don't like the guy it's coming from. We should be mature enough and smart enough and intelligent enough and wise enough to go, you know what, I don't agree with all of that and I don't believe all that, and that's certainly not of God, but you know what, this little thing right here, man, that's pretty good. I might be able to use some of that in my life. I might be able to apply that. Why? Because if it's true, it came from God, because God is the author of all life, all truth, all creation. Amen? All truth, it doesn't matter where it comes from, doesn't matter who stumbled across it. I don't have to even be a Christian to find some sliver of truth out there in the world. Amen? Thank God, because there are a lot of medicines, a lot of scientific discoveries that have been made that we use every day in our lives that were heathens, people that didn't have any knowledge or understanding of Jesus. But they still found some truth. Right? So let's not be careful that we are not just dismissive of wisdom and truth because we dislike the source. And that's what Paul says, hey, this guy, these are not godly people. They're not espousing godly ideas or biblical ideas at all. But you know what? There's some truth there. We, in him, we live and move and have our being. So we take, he says, I'm going to take the truth that's out there and I'm going to use it. Here's what Paul does. I'm going to redeem it and I'm going to use it to build a bridge, to build a bridge from where you are to where you can find Jesus. That's all. When we say redeem the thing instead of reject it, that's all we're talking about. Find a way. We got to find a way to build a bridge from where people are to where we can understand and get a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody? Turn to somebody and say, build them a bridge. Build a bridge. Now, you say, well, again, I know, let me just, in case you aren't aware yet or haven't figured out, this is not a let's jump up around, we're gonna say amen and we're going to shout around the room because God's blessing us all. This is not one of those sermons or one of those message series. But I do believe it's something to prepare us for what God has called us to do in the future and what God has called us to be if we're going to be an effective church building the kingdom of God. Because listen to me close. Don't miss this. This is pretty hard data that's out there right now. Listen to me close. 28% of Americans in the United States right now, of adults in the United States right now, 28% of all U.S. adults will classify themselves as having zero or no religious affiliation. That's one in every four. One in every four adult says, I am not a believer in really anything. Okay? And in 10, 15, 5, maybe years or however long, those 28% are going to have kids. And unless God moves their life and they discover Jesus, those kids are going to grow up in a house with no religious background or affiliation whatsoever. Amen? Not only that, not only are 28% of current, and the number's probably more than that, that's just the written data we have. Not only millions upon millions on top of that, and I'm just talking about the U.S., but this has been going on in Canada and in Europe for, they're about 20 or 30 years ahead of us, actually, in this pattern, okay? Not only that, not only are 28%, one out of every four, a little more than that, every American adult, zero affiliation or adherence or belief in anything theological or dogmatic. Not only that, you have millions of people who classify themselves not as unchurched, not as no religion, not as going to church or a Christian. They would classify themselves as de-churched, which means they grew up in church, but for whatever reason, many of them exist, said, I'm done with that. Okay? And all of those, there's a great number of those people that are having children and they're raising kids in a home. Those kids will come up with probably a nun background. Amen? Okay? Now, why does that matter? Because that is who Paul is talking to. And Paul, understanding that he can't just show up with his Bible and go, hey, this is what the Bible says. Well, guess what? Those people don't care what the Bible says. Or those people have already heard what the Bible says and decided they didn't need anything about that. Amen? And so if we're serious about reaching, encouraging, and discipling beyond just us that are gathered here, that have already either been church or are church or have an affiliation or a commitment to Christ, guess what? We're gonna have to understand there's a whole crop, there's a whole generation of people that God has called us to reach outside of these walls that we cannot necessarily all the time start with the Bible. We've got to figure out where they are and go, okay, how do I build a bridge? You don't listen to the Bible. You don't listen to preaching on YouTube. You don't follow Mike Todd and Stephen Furtick and whoever your guy is. I don't know, Bishop T.D. Jakes or Rod Parsley, whatever you're into. I don't care. You haven't gone to Sunday school, so I can't. You don't have that background. It doesn't make any sense. But so who do you listen to? Paul says, "Who? Let me figure out." Paul's like, "You don't listen to Isaiah. You're not listening to Noah, and you're not listening to Moses. That's a stranger to you. That has no relevance to you at all." So Paul says, "Well, who do you listen to?" He says, "Well, here's what some of your own people have said. Here's something that you all know that some of your own people have talked about, and let's start there. Let me redeem that." Paul preaches the gospel without preaching the gospel. He preaches the gospel without the gospel. Does that make sense? That's weird, right? He preaches the gospel without quoting scripture, without saying, "Well, the Bible says this." No, he just says, he's all from their perspective. "You have this unknown God. I know that unknown God." He said, "You have an idol to an unknown God. I know who that is. He's the creator. We all know about creation. You all know about this. There's a creator that designed that." He says, "Even some of your own people that you know have talked about him. This is what they said. In him we live, we move, we have our being. In him we are his offspring." I want to show a quick video. And again, let me just set this up, okay? And I'm only showing this to give an example, just a trigger warning, okay? Trigger warning. There may be a couple of words in here that are we don't talk like in church. Just and I left it in. Just I was like, I just want to just listen to the real thing they said, and just not be absurd by that. In no way, shape, or form am I showing you this and saying these are godly men or Christians or even anybody that we should listen to or try to be like or anything. What I'm saying is I believe that if Paul were alive right now, 2024, talking to Athens, I'm not saying these would be the ones. I'm just saying this would be an example of what Paul used to build a bridge, because it was something that everybody knew, was familiar with, and would listen and would get on board with, and then began to build a bridge. Just check this out.
God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you. Believe that. I do.
He's there.
Do you think there's a real Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
What makes you convinced?
My faith.
I mean, that's a good answer.
Well, let me ask you a different question then. Do you think there is a God?
I'm terrified that there might be, Pierce. How's that? And I'm not trying to be a smartass when I'm making that comment either. Like they say, it's an Old Testament saying, I believe, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and that is actually about as true a statement as you could manage. And
Terence McKenna once said it best, that science asks of you one miracle. That's the Big Bang.
Yeah.
It is one miracle. It really is kind of like a miracle.
Yeah.
If in the beginning there was nothing, and then God created the earth and the skies, and that's essentially what the Bible is trying to say. They're just doing it in a way.
And the interesting, you know, the Bible got it right. They got the order right.
Right.
You know?
So the world is hurting right now. This is not like a hobby or a side project for me. This is something that I couldn't be more passionate about. The world is in a world of hurt. The mental health crisis among young people is devastating. Suicides are up by 3 times. Anxiety, depression, loneliness. It's killing people.
Literally.
It's tearing our political system apart. And we have war in Europe, and the threat of war is looming. We've been through this pandemic, but we're suffering multiple other pandemics. We're suffering racism, materialism, climate change is a pandemic, sexism, all of militarism, all of the things that are bringing out the worst in humanity. We need a spiritual revolution, because I truly believe that there are spiritual tools from a kind of an ancient spiritual toolkit that we can draw on, that we can use to heal not only ourselves personally, but our society.
And I said, let me see about this God thing. I've never been a religious guy. And so I start reading, and I start talking to people. I also found that around me, like a couple of people I was working with, they're all Christians. And not that anyone was ever pushing anything on me. When I asked them questions, they would gladly answer. And there's a lot of stuff written about Jesus. There's a lot written, you know, thousands of years of books, and there's some contemporary stuff such as Evidence Demands a Verdict. And, you know, there's so much. And I got to tell you, Joe, as sure as I know that Building 7 didn't fall down out of sympathy for Building 1 and 2, God is real, Jesus existed, he was a badass outlaw, and it has changed my outlook on life. It has really changed the way I look at things. And I believe that we can win with God.
Somebody save me, me from myself. Has been so long living in hell.
Okay, so those are all possible examples of something Paul might have said if he was alive right now and used as a jumping off point to build a bridge to say, hey, here's somebody you know you're familiar with. This is what they've said. Now, whether or not they are living the lifestyle, whether or not they are got it all right or accurate or not, it's something that we all can understand. Kid Rock said, Jesus is real. Okay? What I'm trying to say is this. There's a... What do you think? Should we do a Red Life Jesus was a bad A Easter shirt this year? Yeah? I don't know. Oh, that got an applause. I didn't think that was going to get an applause. Okay. I'm kidding. I think. Anyway. One thing I hear when I listen to guys talk like that, again, and I'm not making any judgments one way or the other on where any of these guys are in their salvation, their walk with God, heaven or hell, any of that. That's between them and the Lord, okay? What I do hear in there, and there's many conversations you can find like this, is that people know there's something out there. This unknown God. Guys, we know the unknown God that they're searching for. And it's our job as the church must show the unknown God that we know. We have to show the unknown God that we know. But here's the thing. The people that we have to do that for, they may not want to listen to us. And they, wherever they are, they may not listen to the Bible. They may not listen to Paul. They may not listen at the beginning to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. But you know what? They might listen to Dwight from The Office. They might listen to Jelly Roll. They already are listening to him. You understand what I'm saying? And so we've got to be willing. We've got to at least be willing to be able to take those things that people are already listening to and redeem them and say, hey, this is already out there. Jelly Roll said, somebody save me. That's a human need that every single one of us feel, know, and understand. That's why that song has millions and millions of plays and things on YouTube and whatever else. Why? Because that strikes a common nerve at the core in all of humanity. And the majority of humanity never figures out or lands on the answer to that question. And here we are sitting on it. We got to show the unknown God that we know. And we might have to be willing to do that. We have to be willing to do that and start that where people already are and build a bridge. Amen? Let's just talk briefly about the bridge that Paul built, because I think it's very powerful. The bridge Paul built was this. He uses their own Jelly Roll, their own Joe Rogan, their own Dwight, whatever you want it to be. He uses their own. He says, your own guys have said this. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. But the opposite of that is also true. Apart from him, we don't live, we die. Apart from him, we can't move, we freeze, we get stuck. Apart from him, we are not. We're nothing. There's no existence, not truly. Now, you might be able to take up space. We might be able to live 50, 60, 70, 80 years, whatever. Might be able to have a family. Might have a good job. Might even have a 401k, have some savings. Might have people say nice things about us at our funeral. But will never really exist in the true nature of our created purpose apart from that creator. Amen? It's in him that we live, in him that we move, in him that we have our being. If that's true, then the opposite is true. Apart from him, we die, we freeze, and we are not. And listen, family, we stand all over this place this morning. Because both of those things are true, because the original statement is true, and because the opposite is true, because in him we live and move and have our being, which means that I have to be in him to discover those things, and because apart from him, I'm going to die, I'm going to be stuck and frozen, and I am not going to really exist truly. Because that's true for every single person on the planet universally, that's why we have to build a bridge. Whatever it takes, whatever work, whatever God puts at our disposal. Amen? It may not be podcasts. And so I'm able to show you that because that's stuff that I am interested in, and that's stuff that I'm floating in, and that's stuff that I have somewhere in the back of my mind floating around when I start to think about these things. I don't know what you got. Every one of us, you have something, an interest, a hobby, a thing that God, a talent, a gifting, a place of work. You have something somewhere where God can use it to build a bridge. I just want us to ask God to show us what it is and help us to do it. Amen? I want us to add, I know, again, this is not one of those teachings or messages. This is really just more, I think, something for us to wrestle with more than it is to agree or disagree with. This is really kind of something, I think, for us to go out from this place and go, God, this isn't something I can give an altar call for and say, let's, everybody come down, we're going to pray together, and no, this is, we have to take this home with us and wrestle with this and figure out, God, where are there things that I'm rejecting that you want me to redeem? Are there things that I've, are there things that I'm afraid to talk about or touch or whatever that maybe you want me to, that maybe can be used to build a bridge? God, what are those things? What are those things? We've got to do it. We've got to do it, or in a generation, we will be irrelevant. Listen, the gospel is never irrelevant. Jesus is never irrelevant. Ever. But we could be if we're not willing to build that bridge. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we take this message home, Lord, I pray this for myself more than anyone else, God. I'm praying to in the mirror, God, as I pray to end this moment today, Father. Lord, I pray that you help us in our individual lives, in our individual spaces where we have influence, in our homes, in our jobs, in our circle of friends, the places that you lead us to go and bring us to and lead us in and out of. God, I pray that you show us the areas where we are, the tools that you've given us, God, to build a bridge. And Lord, I pray as a church family, God, as we continue to be a home for freedom and encouragement, as we continue to fulfill the mission that you have placed us on in this community to reach, encourage, and disciple, even as we go into this Easter season, Father, we're believing for great things. I'm believing for baptisms, God. I'm believing for people to give their lives to the Lord and to start a walk with you that revolutionizes and transforms their lives and their homes and their families' lives and their children's and grandchildren's lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm believing for these bicycles, these simple tools to be a bridge, that Lord, you work everything out. You cause the right name to be drawn out of the bucket and to be given to someone who is believing you for a sign, believing you for a miracle, God, and you're going to do that. God, I thank you. God, I pray that help us to be those bridge builders. Help us to redeem everything, God, that you put in our hands to redeem. And Lord, I just pray that you would make ourselves open, make me open. Just make me, my life, my story, my whatever, that thing that you can redeem, Father, for your purpose, for your glory. Lord, I pray you give us an open mind and an open heart and open eyes to see where you're doing that, Father God, in each and every situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, help us to build a bridge. Help us to be bridge. Why don't you just pray that? We just pray and say, Lord, if you mean it. If you don't mean it, if you're on the fence about it, that's fine. You can let the Lord deal with you. But if you say, man, I know God's called me to that. I want to come into agreement with that. Then pray this. I say, Lord, make me a bridge builder. Make me a bridge builder. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stretch your hands this way. Receive this last blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord establish you and grant you peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.